Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
What is up, everybody? We are 4 days, 5 days away from the Super Bowl, whatever it is, as we sit here on Wednesday morning. We'll get into the big news that happened last night. We're going to start a little preview of the Super Bowl today, and then Friday will be full-on Super Bowl preview. We'll break it all down from every angle, and we will get Sean's opinion on how big of a game this is for Mahomes. All that's going to come on Friday, but we'll do a little talk of it now, maybe from a little more of a gambling angle today. We got quarterback news, as we always do. Every show we have quarterback news. We have an NFL draft question I want to ask you, Sean, just kind of run through some teams and what you're thinking for them. And then we got some interesting coaching moves, and we're still waiting on two teams to hire coaches. Sean, it's February 8th.
Again. It's hard
to believe.
Teams
don't have coaches.
Which tells you one of two things, and well, I know we got a lot of just a quick teaser of it. In one city, it's either or combined that they're waiting for somebody else's season to end, or the quarterback is just such a – that in Arizona, that dealing with Kyler Murray has become such a pain in the ass.
Yep.
And his lack of commitment to studying and getting it done that you don't want it. Yet the talk is the two teams, Cincinnati – and Mike Kafka with the Giants are two of the leading candidates. How's that not done yet?
Right.
It's the weirdest thing, right?
Yeah.
And then in, you know, in the other place, I think Segs, it simply comes down to, let's see, who am I forgetting? Who am I leaving out? Team am I missing? Oh, yeah, the Colts. I think they're trying to, you know, Wink Martindale's a candidate. It may be coming down to Jonathan Gannon and Wink Martindale or Steichen and one of those guys.
Right.
I think that it's a Philadelphia assistant that they're considering there. So I get that, but this Arizona thing's weird, but we'll get to
that. Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But before we hit the breaking news or the big news that happened last night, as always, we're brought to you by Bet Online.
Yeah, basketball's back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, the team matchups, and the information, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, Bet Online features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long, and always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's the NFL, the NBA, college basketball, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag and join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. It's Bet Online, where the game starts.
As always, thank you to Bet Online. We start with non-football. LeBron James passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to become the NBA's all-time scoring leader. However many points, 38,000 and change or whatever it is that he now has. I think if you've listened to, I'll speak for myself, I'm not a huge LeBron guy. I think he's a great player. I have him number two on my list of greatest NBA players of all time. So I'm not knocking him. This is a tremendous accomplishment to be able to play at this level for this many years. And, you know, I keep seeing it on Twitter, and it's something that always, you know, resonates, is the hype this kid had when we were watching his games at St. Vincent St. Mary's in Ohio in high school on ESPN, to where he is at last night. The fact that he was able to live up to that hype is just incredible. And, you know, he's not a guy that's out getting in trouble. He's not out and has all these rumors behind him. Yeah, he says some things that people are kind of like, dude, just stop talking. He kind of sticks his nose in, I think, where sometimes people are like, dude, you sound like an idiot. He does some of that stuff. But on the basketball court, in my opinion, second best player of all time. And congrats to him on passing Kareem and what could end up being an unbreakable record if he ends up staying another 3 to 4 years to play with Bronny.
He'll get into the 44,000 range, Segs, because we may have never had a bigger freak in a bigger sport when it just comes to body type, speed, size, power, and production anywhere. Right. Honestly, he's number two on my list as well. Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe, they're in the conversation. They did Bill Russell, but it's two, and then there's a gap, and then the other guys. And Jordan's at the top of that. And for me, the difference is there's differences. I think when it gets right down to it, Jordan was a better – because when I'm talking about the best player of all time, dude, I'm not just talking about one thing, scoring. I mean, I'm talking – or get your shot. I'm talking about both ends of the floor, sniper mentality, all those things that go with it. LeBron's phenomenal. I'll tell you what, he's closed the gap by the way he's played late in his career. There's no doubt. But I still got Jordan 1. I think Jordan could have been the best defender of all time if he wanted to. I do that. I honest to God, I believe that. And I think the difference, and I know LeBron is a competitive, get after it, sniper, and he wants to beat you up. The difference is, I think when LeBron will be a sniper, and then like think about in any terms, somebody hunting a bird or hunting a big game, shoot it and walk away from it. Jordan's the type that sniper walks over there, shoots it, and puts his foot on the throat. There's the difference. One doesn't want to lose, won a lot, elevates players, both of them tremendous basketball IQ, never in question. Two of the top five basketball IQs ever, I think. And then the difference is, to me, one has this refusal to lose that is there's nobody close, and that's Jordan. And I think that's the separation, Segs, both in rarefied air. One is the pilot, one's the co-pilot, and that's Jordan, in my opinion. Now, you hit it. Segs, I've been thinking about a time when hype matched production, or production matched hype in any sport. Kobe close, got a lot of it, but Kobe had a ton of hype as a high school guy, but LeBron more.
Right.
But Kobe lived up to it. Jordan did not have that kind of hype coming out of high school. And he spent in college, you know, he had hype, but remember, Jordan was moving up trying to make the varsity, you know, doing his thing. And then he got to North Carolina. And then when he hit that jump shot and played 3 years at North Carolina, that hype train started then in North Carolina. But LeBron's hype started when he was 12, then 14, then 16, 17, and lived up to every ounce of it. And quite frankly, may have exceeded the hype, considering most guys, you'll say, man, great hype, but they could have a Hall of Fame career, but it's like, man, how do you live up to that? I mean, it's ridiculous, right? He did. And he's a phenomenal player, phenomenal specimen. And you're right. I guess the thing that drives people sometimes crazy, I don't have a problem with him speaking out, but sometimes he probably speaks out and certain times when he's not as informed as he should be on certain topics.
Yeah, that's exactly
I don't have a problem with him speaking out. Sometimes it's like, dude, go ahead and speak out, but just be a little more informed on the topic when you give your opinion so you can back it up with whatever the facts may be. That's all I'm saying. So, and he's been a difference maker at every, you know, on the court, off the court. You're exactly right. The only controversy that follows him around is he has people go to him. He's like the rep has something to say for everything.
Yeah.
And that's fine. So a phenomenal, phenomenal accomplishment. It is going to be an unbreakable. I think about Luka and Trae Young and Ja Morant. Steph Curry's not even close, and he's almost 35. You think about it, Segs, to do that 20 years, and he's still scoring 30 and 25 and 38 last night. And that record is pretty much going to be put out of reach. Now, I'll never say never, but living up to that hype and the body staying in shape, Right. I think he's playing three years minimum. I think he wants to prove that he can do in basketball what Brady did in football. Honest to God, I do.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking, as you're talking about the, you know, who lived up to the hype and went on and had that career, that you're like, okay, this guy was that guy. The name that comes to mind to me is Peyton Manning, you know, with the dad, the hype he had going to Tennessee,
no question,
you know,
no
not
question.
Going to Ole Miss and
football family, the whole
right.
thing. No doubt
and
about
being
it.
That good at would Tennessee, agree. Being the number one pick in Indianapolis and coming out and struggling that rookie year, you know, when he threw what, almost 30 interceptions.
28, I think 28 interceptions led the league. Six.
Right. Right. And then, you know, goes on to have a Hall of Fame career and is in most people's top five, if not top three quarterbacks of all time. And you know, most people's top 10
point.
Football players of all time. So he's the one guy that stands out just because of who his dad was, the talk around him. And
the hype started in high school.
Right.
It started in high school and he lived up to it by winning Super Bowls and putting up ridiculous numbers, gaudy numbers, and led team. He did everything you're supposed to do as a first pick of the draft.
Right.
He did. That's exactly right.
And on top of it, when you think about his career, he had to battle the greatest football player of all time, Tom Brady, in his conference. Right. If he didn't have Tom Brady, or Tom Brady just ended up being a normal quarterback, I mean, how many more Super Bowls does Peyton Manning win?
Right. And all the MVPs he's won, right?
Right.
Five of them, I think, Seg. So yeah, it's he's in football got to be the one that sticks out the most. A lot of guys had hype, but didn't, I mean, Bo Jackson, but unfortunately an injury stopped that. But even Bo, Herschel Walker, big hype coming out of Wrightsville, Georgia, but it still wasn't the family hype. This guy, you know, a small town in Wrightsville, Georgia, and his freshman year is when the big hype started for Herschel, you know, when he was dominating. So there's different guys, but the guys that were supposed to be great turned out to be great, and you're putting in your Mount Rushmore of both sports, it's those two cats. It's LeBron and it's Peyton when it comes to matching the production with the hype.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're just, you know, 4 or 5 days away from the Super Bowl. Eagles, Chiefs, Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Andy Reid, Nick Sirianni, Kelce versus Kelce. A lot of storylines in this. Let's just look at it today from a betting angle. Right now, the line sits at -1.5 for Philly. Philly -1.5 and the over under of 51. Just your thoughts being, you know, 4 or 5 days out. What are you thinking in terms of, do you like where the line is at? Would you favor Kansas City? How do you look at it right now?
I think that line's going to move again, Segs, towards Kansas City. I do.
As
I think
gets,
when they find out,
closer,
if they say, to a point of a point or a pick 'em, because, you know, you're going to think about, okay, Super Bowl experience. Andy Reid, even though Sirianni and those assistant coaches have been great, the Andy Reid's the best play caller we have on offense. So there's got to be that factor. And now I think people are just waiting for how healthy are their perimeter players. You know, if you hear that this guy, as we get closer, okay, and Mahomes, when they say ankles 100%, you might start to see people, oh, okay. But I don't think it's going the other way. I think this is as big as it gets for Philly. I think Philly's been the most complete team. Since we're going to break down from a betting angle for me, I would probably say, here's the weird thing about it is, and maybe it's the emotional and the head with one, the emotion with others, is I would take Kansas City right now, even though I think Philadelphia is a more complete team. And I guess it's simply the two guys at the top of the food chain, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And then there's a couple in the betting side, you know, and I'm taking the under right now, Segs. I'm looking at your hair is going to touch it, just not your head. I think we're looking in that 50 to 51 points. It's 51 right now or 52?
51 is what it says on ESPN.
When I had my score today, when I was thinking of a score, the score that hit me, now you can go either way with it because I haven't made my final thought. I'm just still 4 days or 5 days away. I'm leaning towards Kansas City, yet I still think Philadelphia is a more complete team when you talk about perimeter weapons, all those things. But Mahomes, let's face facts, it's Mahomes, yet there is a lot of pressure on him, and I'm sure we're going to get to that as the reasons why. I'm looking at like a 27-23. Segs, this is going to come down to one of those that you're begging for a two-pointer or a field goal that somebody misses and it costs somebody. I think if you get to 50 points, Both defenses and offenses have had pretty good games, and defenses have not let it go here. I don't see the game in the 30s. I just don't.
Agreed. Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. I agree with you, the fact that I could see the line pushing. I mean, I think we could even see by Sunday morning, Sunday noontime.
Chiefs a half-point favorite or a
point favorite? Yeah, half-point or a point favorite, and that full two-and-a-half-point swing to Kansas City side we could be looking at. I'm kind of with you on right now leaning Kansas City just with Mahomes and the special things he does, but there's so many different angles to look at that we will on Friday. But, you know, the one I'll bring up right now is, can Hassan Reddick, can Brandon Graham, can Fletcher Cox, can, you know, those players on that defensive line of Philadelphia make it hard on Patrick Mahomes, keep him in the pocket, not allow him to improvise like he does, and then get to him and bring him down. That's the big key.
Right. You know what's interesting, too, and before we switch topics, because we can get deep into this on Friday.
Oh, yeah, we will on Friday.
Is just an out loud key that I'm looking at. I'm saying, okay, if you're Jonathan Gannon, you have not had to blitz this year. They do not blitz. They play – well, when you get 70 sacks with your front, 63 or 64 of them, you don't need to. Two things come to mind. If you're hell-bent on the quarterback, be very aware of Isaiah Pacheco in this football game some gaps because you're hell – because you may – at times you're willing to give up a few runs in order not to let that 15 beat you and to pressure him and hit him. That's one. Two is, you've played a lot of zone. I wonder if at some point in time this, when you look at the perimeter receivers not named Kelce, right? And I'm thinking, okay, if I'm Jonathan Gannon, do I believe that one-on-one those guys are that much better than me on the back end? Now, I know that's a bit of a – and I'm not sure I do.
All right.
So I'm wondering if you start to just a few times – go into this game thinking I'm going to pressure and Wink Martindale it a little more, blitz a little more, so we are sure to get to him and hopefully we get a tip ball interception. And if we can just take them off their mark, that I don't believe that maybe they don't believe Juju Smith-Schuster or Valdez Scantley can get separation like they want.
Right.
Because if you're going to just rush four and you're going to play high safeties, two high safeties without bringing a guy down, which you're not going to do most time against Mahomes, or you're going to play zone, listen, Kelce will catch 12, 15 balls. I don't know how you're going to defend him. And you can't give a great player that much time to sit. So if you're getting early pressure and it's like, damn, they came to play, great. Stick with it. Don't give up the home run. Keep everything in front of you and live to play. It'd put a ring on your finger probably. But I'm keeping an eye on that, Segs, how the defense plays Mahomes. And the two big factors, too, is If you miss on a blitz or a tackle in the backfield on Mahomes or Jalen Hurts, you are screwed.
Right.
And maybe even more. Now, the sidearm and all the stuff Mahomes does off schedule, but with Jalen Hurts' ability to run and those two perimeter receivers, that's the danger game.
Yes.
If you're Spagnuolo, are you going to blitz and hope you get to him? If you miss and you got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on your corners, and I think they're both rookies, if I'm not mistaken, or young players – in Kansas City, you are rolling some dice there, brother, to give up the home run. Because you know they're going to sell out to stop the run.
Right.
They have to. So there will be some big perimeter plays by Philadelphia in this game via the pass, or they will at least have opportunities to do it.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about McDuffie and the other rookie. Jalen Watson.
There you go, because we were talking about him last night on our Last Chance Cue show. So, Segs, to me, this game, and it could be complete opposite. Hell, both teams, this you could see Kansas City dominating a run game if Pacheco gets rolling. You're playing, and you could actually see Kansas City and Spagnuolo try to take away the run, and Jalen Hurts have to beat you throwing it. This could be an odd football game that we don't expect it to be odd, but there's weapons everywhere for both teams, and protection's going to have to hold up on both sides. And Philadelphia's got a good offensive line as well.
Yeah, it's a fascinating game because it's two fascinating teams. It's the two best teams in football, and there's so many different ways to look at it.
Do you feel buzz, Segs? Do you feel buzz or not? Are we just too far away? Should we be in Arizona to feel it? Are we fatigued by Kansas City? Where's the buzz, man?
For me personally, I think that sports television has done a disservice to the games, because it's gotten so out of control in terms of just screaming at each other. And there's so much stupidity, you know, with these guys. They don't prepare like, you know, you do, or some of these guys that are really, unless you're watching NFL Live, you know, that's the show to watch. If you really want to learn about the game, if you want to hear just about storylines and hot takes, then turn on NFL Network or turn on ESPN. And I think that's where the buzz is getting lost, because not a lot of people watch those shows anymore. I don't watch them. I don't watch them at all. I barely watch sports outside the games, just because it's all so negative. I'll turn on the radio. I'll listen to your show. I'll listen to the shows here in Chicago. Right. I'll listen to radio more.
Well, we're
so
not throwing
because,
hot takes out there. Right. You know, we're trying to be reasonable, right?
You try and get into the game plans of what they're thinking, and they just don't do that on these shows anymore, besides NFL Live.
Right. We've gotten so opinionated that we forget this game's not coming. Give your opinion after it's over. If you think
right.
the opinion on X's and O's, because right. in truth, the entertainment's all fine. And we get that all year long. I kind of want a deep dive as to what we're thinking of. How would you stop Kelce? Tell me that on the air.
Right.
Don't just tell me, oh, is Kelce the best tight end that's ever played? Okay, great. Let's have that conversation at the end of his career. I want to know how Jonathan Gannon plans on stopping this dude.
Yes.
I do. You're right.
You have Ryan Clark. You have Booger McFarland. You have all these guys on ESPN.
Orlovsky.
You have all these guys on NFL Network. Tell me what you guys would do against Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. How do you keep him in the pocket? What do you do instead of just yelling at each other about? Now, yeah, you'll get some here and there of Ryan Clark and Orlovsky talking X's and O's.
I want more of it.
But it's way too, like, the guy who is so underutilized in sports, period, is the great Greg Cosell. Like, that guy should be everywhere this week talking on ESPN about the game. Instead, he's on one show, and it's, what, a half hour long?
He would be the best X's and O's talker on 90% of the TV shows.
Oh.
And Greg, because he sees more on film than an NFL coach does.
Right. Matt Bowen is another one.
Right. Greg and I, you know, Greg's been, as you and I know, he was on our show. And people went haywire listening to him on radio, where you couldn't even see his designs.
Right. Now he's got X's
and
O's
sitting
in front
of you. And so I want to tune in. Right. I want to tune in and say, okay, Greg, because then I'd pepper him this way. If I was on the ESPN, I'd look at Clark or Alaska, or if Greg Cosell, I'd say, okay, Greg, you're my defensive coordinator. I'm your head coach. I'm telling you, tell me what game plan on Wednesday we have in to deal with that dude who catches 100+ balls a year.
Right.
And that everybody says you got to stop Kelce, but nobody does. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to play a man. Well, then you've already told me you're giving up 8 to 10 catches, because you're playing him with one guy. You've got no shot.
Right.
None. And if you're going to play him with zone, are you pressuring him at the line of scrimmage? Are you playing off and in and out in him? And if that's the case, what are you doing on the perimeter? Are you playing man, which means more pressure? Are you going to double two guys? Right. Are you going to blitz his gaps? I need to know this stuff, and I don't see enough of it. And I quite frankly see it. Not only is he the most underutilized X's and O's guy on TV, it's the most underutilized. People love strategy. At least I know I do. I get tired of everybody, especially when it's the same damn topic asked a different way every day.
Right, exactly.
Teach me something about it's like a good, like Greg Olson. He's going to teach you something Sunday. And so, and that's what I want to hear and what I want to see. And you got all the Telestrator shit in these studios. What a perfect opportunity to actually walk me through it if I'm a fan, right?
Exactly. Crazy. Exactly. But yes, we will break down all this stuff come Friday. Sean, we got some quarterback news that involves your favorite team. One, Derek Carr, who at the Pro Bowl this past weekend said, if you haven't seen the clip, basically said, like, this is what went on and this is why I'm leaving Vegas. Like, he just put it out there that he's leaving. Well, now the team has granted him permission to go visit the New Orleans Saints. They did that yesterday. Reportedly, the teams have come to an agreement on compensation if things go well. We're still waiting to hear if that goes down this week or early next week. But what are your thoughts on Carr to New Orleans? What does it do for the Saints in terms of that division that isn't going to be very good now with no Tom Brady? We don't know. The Panthers need a quarterback. The Falcons aren't very good. And the Saints are a team that's still trying to get out of this money hole in terms of cap that right. You know, Michael Thomas is probably going to be gone. Alvin Kamara is still there. They still have talent. but they're not able to bring in a lot. So what are your thoughts on Derek Carr to New Orleans?
And Segs, remember, talk about a great season for Philly. They got the 10th pick because New Orleans is giving it to them. So you're going to get a bonus. The truth is you're going to go out and maybe get a corner to add to your football team that you're already you're the most complete team in the league. So it's one of those years where the rich just got richer because they made they bought low and sold high, right? And New Orleans missed out. Now, remember, New Orleans is going to get San Francisco's 30th pick,
right?
In this one, because of the Sean Payton through San Francisco, they're getting theirs. That's going to New Orleans at that point in time. The big four quarterbacks will be gone,
right?
And they don't have enough ammunition to get up to go and try to get one of them. So now you're left with, well, Dalton's a serviceable guy and a good backup to have. And spot start, you're not going where you want to go at this stage of his career, 17 games. Secondly, and that's to the playoffs consistently. Secondly, Jameis Winston obviously is not their quarterback. And Dennis Allen, you could tell Dennis Allen wasn't going back there. When he came back, he stuck with Andy Dalton, even when Jameis Winston was healthy.
Right.
So that's done. I want my Swiss Army knife to be the Swiss Army knife with Taysom Hill. Segs, why it's only a third-round pick, and considering the numbers he's put up, now, if the money is going to be, I think the money's more issue than the third round pick, to be honest with you.
Yeah, were
I don't
you
have
surprised
a problem
by the third round pick?
Yes, I would have gone in and said
second.
Yeah, I would have gone in and said a second and a conditional fourth round pick.
Right.
It becomes a whatever.
Agreed.
It gets a fifth to a fourth or a fourth to a third if he plays 17 games and we make the playoffs or win the division. Mm-hmm. I think they're giving him away. It's for a team that needs all the shit they can get on defense.
Right.
And so if you're New Orleans, you're saying, okay, I work it around. Maybe you even redo his contract, Segs, and stretch it out to where you can break up some salary cap if you need to, right? But listen, he's won games. You know he's going to throw for 4,000-plus yards. He'll throw 30 touchdowns, and maybe a new venue is great for him. It'd be indoors, a new start for him. Hell, why not? Say, I mean, they don't have the answer now. And Carolina got a long way to go. They're going to end up starting a rookie at quarterback more than likely, unless they go get Garoppolo or one of those. Atlanta's got a long way to go. They don't even know who their quarterback is. And Tampa's in a bit of disarray, and they're changing coaching staffs as well. The Saints should win the division if Derek Carr's their quarterback, honest to God. They should. So I would do it, Segs, if I was a New Orleans Saints. And then you say, okay, at least I buy time. Now the next year, I'm getting another pick from Denver, second-round pick. I got a first-rounder. Now maybe I got enough, even if we finish with 9 wins somewhere in the middle of the pack or win the division, or two, I got enough maybe to move up, and then I can get a Quinn Ewers or get a – and then I can get my long-term future, because they can't keep drafting the Ian Books, that guy who's a backup, who's a good player in college, but you know he's not your franchise.
Right.
It's time, and Derek Carr would be a good holdover, because I think as a third-rounder, I don't think that's going to be the last team that jumps into this fray, Segs. I don't. I think more teams now will jump in knowing that they put it out there. It's a third round pick. Shit. Why wouldn't I jump in on that if I'm the Raiders, right? I mean, with the Raiders putting it out to the Saints is my point.
Yeah.
It's only a third round pick. Hell, I do that. I have no problem doing it, because at least I know I'm going to get a veteran who has something to prove.
Right. For sure. So we've kind of talked about this, but here I want to be a little more direct when it comes to the NFL draft and these quarterbacks. You know, we're talking Bryce Young, we're talking CJ Stroud, we're talking Will Levis, and we're talking Anthony Richardson. Those are the four that everybody's talking about being possible top 10 picks. So Bears hold the number one pick. We've talked about it.
Yep.
If you're, I'm just going to throw out, I'm going to go in order of teams that I think need quarterbacks. You tell me if they should look to make that move to one, or if you're okay with that team maybe moving to 5 or 3 or whatever to get one of the second or third quarterback in this draft. Let's just start at number 2 with the Houston Texans.
I would, you know, there's talk to say, I saw something that the Texans, and I was just looking at, so I saw something that the Texans, when they get jumped or when the they're going to get Will Anderson, you know, everybody's got a mock draft, that they're going to trade for Derek Carr.
Yes, I
that's
saw
that's one of
that
another,
day,
but
yes,
a mock draft, and so, but let's just say, I don't think they're going now for a third round pick. Hell, maybe they are. I don't know. The second pick, and you're telling me the Bears stayed where they are, right? Yep. Are you telling me the Bears stayed where they are?
Should the Texans go from 2-1 to make sure they get their quarterback?
Okay. Yeah. The hardest part about this is if the Texans love – I've seen all three quarterbacks as the first pick in this draft.
I have as well.
Young and Levis. And I think Levis, the biggest upside. The other two are more productive. One's the best pure thrower, meaning with accuracy is C.J. Stroud. Levis is the biggest upside because he looks the part and he's got that – you know, he's the guy that in shorts and a T-shirt, you're like, shit.
Whoa.
And yeah. Young's the best player.
Right.
If Stroud's production, he's the best player. I would say I'm going to take my chances if I'm the Texans. Take my chances that the team that moves up to number one is going after the quarterback that I'm not going after. Does that make sense? And if I love – if Bryce Young's a 9-8 on my part and Levis is a 9-7, and you think both are franchise quarterbacks, you just love one more than the other, I'm not going to give up those assets, the 12th pick, to move up. I'm going to bank on that I'm going to get a guy. And if you take the quarterback that I love and I can't stand the other ones, my consolation prize is Will Anderson, if that's the case. And I can live with that. I'm to the point as we sit today that I would not. Now, it may change over the next 3 months. But right. I'm going to sit there and hope that they draft that the team that goes up has a different number one in mind than me.
Gotcha. Okay, let's go to the fourth pick. That's the Colts. Should they trade up to one to get their guy?
Yeah, if they – I also think that their guy – who put it this way. I think I think Stroud or Young have a better chance of going first than Levis. I think people are so intrigued with Will Levis, but are you willing to put him first and say, well, what if he's not accurate? Or what? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I think there's more questions. Now the reward's big as anything. The risk is bigger than any of the other those two. Hell, it may even be a bigger risk than Anthony Richardson, who's 6'4", 235 himself.
Right.
So, and he's young too. Anthony Richardson's a young cat. So, Segs, if I'm the Colts, considering what I need, again, depending on what the Bears are making me give them, I'm gonna sit there too because. I'm gonna guess that the team at three, which I know is not getting it. I'm gonna Arizona. Say the Seahawks, right? The Seahawks are not gonna trade up. They're good at five to sit there and say they're at five, I believe, right?
Yep. Six.
That I'm gonna get Geno Smith. We're gonna do that contract. That if I'm gonna get a quarterback, I'm cool with any of these guys to develop them. Geno will start for us. If I'm the Colts, I'm gonna bet that the Colts stay right where they are and they either get Levis or Stroud with that pick. If the Texans take Young.
You kind of just hit on them. The Seahawks sitting at five. I'll make the quick argument that with Geno Smith, maybe they just franchise him a year, keep him, and then you say, we may not pick this high again next year or the year after. Do we say we go get our guy now, even if he sits? We go from 5-1, and we get the best quarterback in the draft in our eyes, and when he sits a year or if Geno struggles or gets hurt, he's in here and he goes.
You know what, Segs, the point about that is, and I'm glad you, the reminder, you know, you get so many different scenarios running through my mind. A lot of it also depends on with you guys holding the cards that the Texans screwed up, that you get to dictate all this, right?
Right.
If you're Seattle, the great point about that is all those assets, Segs.
Mm-hmm.
They got a quarterback who's been a journeyman, who came in and played like a Pro Bowler, and God bless him, and was phenomenal this year. And if you're Pete Carroll, you're saying he'll hold it over. Let's give an extra first rounder because we got some leeway. Let's jump up to number one. We friggin' love Bryce Young or we love whoever it is. And let's get him. No rush. We're a playoff caliber team and Geno Smith will be fine. We franchise him. It's kind of a, what can you do this back to back years? And then you got leverage the next year to say, well, I can use Geno to get another chip if I want the guys ready to play. Right.
Right.
So I actually think, they're more apt considering those circumstances. And the Texans are armed with a lot of guys too. But at two, you almost feel like you're bidding against yourself, right?
Yeah,
you just do. So to me, Seattle seems more logical, especially if they're hell-bent on the future and knowing I'm not waiting until next year with the Caleb Williams and those guys because we're not going to be in position to draft them because we're pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And I think that you are on to something there. And once again, what are the Bears going to demand from a team like that?
Right. Okay. Now we're getting into that part of the draft where it's you're a little bit later. Do the Bears want to fall this far? But it's also going to take a lot more to come up and get it. You may have to give up a first round pick, not only your seventh or ninth, but your first rounder in 2024, your first rounder in 2025.
Nope. That's a long jump. Rounder.
Yeah.
Especially when you get past 10, that's a long leap, and they can hold you hostage if you want something bad enough.
Let me throw three teams at you. Number 7, the Raiders. Number 9, the Panthers. Number 11, the Titans. Are you going to give up a king's ransom for any of those three teams to go up and get your guy? Because you may be sitting there at 7, 9, or 11, and three of them are gone, and you may have to trade up just to get Anthony Richardson. Or, you know, and now you're looking like, okay, did I just get the fourth best quarterback in this draft? I don't know.
Right. If I'm Carolina, I'm going to say Frank Reich wants an upgrade. I think that upgrade is either going to be a veteran, and they know they're not going to be good, and they will be in the Ewers, Drake May, Caleb Williams sweepstakes the following year. The team that's the Raiders have to do something. If they don't get Garoppolo or one of those guys, they have to do something. They could move, and then who was the other team, Segs?
The Titans at 11.
Oh, the Titans. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say the Titans believe that Tannehill with – and plus you would already be admitting that Malik Willis can't play.
Right.
So as a third rounder. So, and he didn't look like he could play very well last year. I think you give that one more year because now you get a longer leash because a new GM, all that stuff with Vrabel. I think Tannehill, you're going to roll him back. If they don't get a veteran, you're going to roll him back and not move up to get a quarterback and put yourself in position the following year because you don't want to admit already that a third rounder is a bust after a rookie year if that's the case.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with this first pick for Chicago.
Seahawks is so intriguing, don't you think,
It Sex? Really is.
Because of the assets.
Yeah, and if you're Chicago, you're thinking like, I don't know if I want to move that far because now you could possibly move out of the Will Anderson, Jalen Carter
You almost feel like their level is cut off at the Colts.
Right. Unless they're just getting a massive haul from somebody that they're just like, you know what? We still get a really good player at 7, 9 or 11.
I'll go grab me one of these receivers if I move too far down or whatever it is.
And we got first round picks for years now, double first round picks. So it's going to be really, really interesting as this offseason goes on. But like I said, we're 5 days away from the Super Bowl and it's going to be a fun one. Two of the best. Sometimes we don't get the two best teams in football.
Right.
This year. And I think everybody needs to enjoy it because two young quarterbacks that we could see back here again next year.
Agreed. I wish you were here to watch it with me, brother, but we'll check it out and we will have a bunch of good stuff. A deep dive into the matchups on Friday.
Yes, for sure. As always, thank you to Bet Online. Thank you to Believe. And we got a lot of fun stuff coming as football's coming to an end, but football never ends.
And hoops, college hoops, Final Four, tournament, and baseball. I look forward to it. Great stuff today, brother. Thank you.
All right. We will talk to you guys on Friday.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hey, friends. Want to grow your business faster and stronger? Wondering how to find and keep top talent? It starts with your culture. Insperity, a leading HR provider, can help your business create a culture that drives growth. Download their free ebook, The Future of Business is Culture, at Insperity.com. With the right people, processes, and values in place, your company can realize its full potential. Visit Insperity.com to see how Insperity provides HR that makes a difference.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.